The profits on prescription drugs are made mostly from sales in the United States and Europe. Yet the companies that make these drugs are increasingly concerned about what's happening in other nations, especially Brazil and South Africa. These countries say they need to bypass patent laws in order to provide cheap generic versions of AIDS drugs to their citizens. But the drug firms are defending their patents, despite global protests and growing criticism. As part of an ongoing series, NPR News is reporting on efforts to provide AIDS treatments to developing nations. NPR's John Hamilton reports on why the drug industry is so determined to prevent unauthorized copying of its products in developing countries.
Drug companies don't usually go out of their way to talk about profits or their motives for guarding patents in foreign countries. So it was a little surprising that both of these topics were placed squarely on the table at a recent media briefing. The event took place at the Washington, D.C. headquarters of PhRMA, the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America.
I'm Judy Bellow, and I thought it might be helpful if we just went around the room. Probably you guys in the media know each other, but maybe not necessarily, and I'm sure you don't know quite all the PhRMA staff, so...
Bellow is a vice president at PhRMA. She delivered several standard messages. Lower drug prices alone won't solve the health crisis in Africa. Countries there need to develop better health systems first. Drug companies are providing free or discounted AIDS drugs to some countries, and strong patent protection will ensure enough revenue to allow the development of newer and better drugs to fight AIDS. But Bellow also offered a rare glimpse of why the drug companies are so worried about the prospect of cheap generic AIDS drugs in developing nations.
While there is an agenda that many are proposing that there should be lower prices in the neediest countries, nonetheless, we think it's very important for you all to see the picture that there will be enormous demand to bring those same low prices into the U.S. market.
Why would cheap drugs in a far-off land affect prices here? Part of the answer has to do with the increasingly global nature of international trade rules. Not long ago, countries made deals one-on-one or in small groups. But since the formation of the World Trade Organization in 1995, most countries have agreed to abide by a single set of rules. So the logic is that if one WTO member is allowed to disregard, say, drug patents, pretty soon the trend will spread to other countries and other products. That's what the drug firms are worried about in Brazil, where the U.S. has asked the WTO to intervene. Brazil has had great success in bringing AIDS drugs to tens of thousands of its citizens, lowering death rates. What's at issue before the WTO is a law that would force companies to give up their patent rights in Brazil if they don't manufacture the patented product locally. The policy is known as a working requirement, and Brazil says it's merely a way to ensure that HIV drugs remain available. Bellow sees it differently.
What is at stake for all patent owners in all industries all over the world, not limited to the United States, is that if Brazil is allowed to impose working requirements, so can everybody else around the world, which means that all patent owners in any industry in any country of the world can be required to choose either give up your patent protection or manufacture locally.
Bellow says Brazil could have allowed generic HIV drugs by declaring AIDS a national health emergency. That's technically permitted under WTO rules. She says the country is using the veil of the AIDS crisis to mount a much broader attack on patent protection for all products, not just drugs. Drug makers aren't the only ones who see major implications from the case in Brazil. Keith Maskus is an economics professor at the University of Colorado. He says the drug companies have two legitimate concerns. One is that they will lose the ability to make money on their brand name products in Brazil, South America's largest market.
To my way of thinking, a much larger concern for them is that this practice of generic copying, imitation of new drugs, will spread far beyond Brazil, both through the channel of the Brazilian firms exporting these generic products and through firms in other countries recognizing that maybe they should do the same thing, or governments in other countries recognizing that maybe they should mandate the same thing.
And in an increasingly global economy, Maskus says, that could eventually mean cheap foreign drugs finding their way back to the U.S. That could happen through illegal imports, or public unhappiness with the discrepancies in drug prices could bring legislation allowing legal imports. Just last year, Congress passed a law that could have allowed limited imports of some prescription drugs, but the Clinton administration decided not to implement the measure. Maskus says passage of a less restrictive law could severely erode profits on U.S. drug sales, something the drug companies have come to depend on.
That's quite important to them because Basically, the way the world is situated these days, most of the profitability in pharmaceuticals comes from the American market, secondarily from the European market. It's those two markets that really pay all of the research and development costs. So from their standpoint, from the pharmaceutical company's standpoint, the rest of the world is basically free riding on the high prices that exist in the United States.
AIDS activists don't see it that way, and they don't believe the presence of generic drugs elsewhere would necessarily hurt profits in the U.S. and Europe. James Love directs the Consumer Project on Technology, a group founded by Ralph Nader. Love says drug prices have remained high in the U.S., despite much lower prices in Canada and Mexico. He also says drug companies don't have much to lose in parts of the world where most people can't afford their products.
If you think about it, it's what, 1.3% of the global market for Africa is what the entire continent represents. It's almost no money to the global drug companies, and yet they're fighting as if their life depended on it.
He points to lawsuits filed by the drug companies against the government of South Africa as an example of the industry's excessive measures.
In the South Africa case, it's actually amazing how many different things the drug companies have sued over. They've sued over issues about generic drug substitution, trademark issues. They've brought up the issue about parallel imports and compulsory licensing. They've kind of thrown the book at the South African government. And the South African government told me that it took them 6 months to find a lawyer in South Africa that knew anything about patent law that wasn't already working for the drug companies.
Love argues that there are ways the drug companies could make HIV drugs affordable in developing countries without giving up profits elsewhere. For example, they could make a deal with the World Health Organization.
If I was the head of Glaxo or Bristol-Myers Squibb, I would pick up the phone, I would call the WHO, I would say, here is a license to use all of our patents in Africa, and if anybody dies there, it won't be our fault, it'll be your fault.
Love says the move would also go a long way toward repairing the drug firm's tattered public image. But so far, there is no indication the drug industry is ready to change course. It continues to pursue its lawsuit over patents in South Africa, and industry officials say they are confident the World Trade Organization will keep Brazil from weakening its patent laws. John Hamilton, NPR News, Washington.